Welcome to the Christ Life. We are so glad that you have made a decision to join us, and ultimately that you're desiring to not live your life, but live Christ's life. And when you live Christ's life, the Father in heaven is glorified, and he fills you with so much more joy. Yes. And as we've been talking over the last number of weeks about this time period in between Jesus's resurrection and then ultimately his ascension, and really out of Acts chapter 1, where it says that Jesus began, Luke's talking, he says, all the things that Jesus began to do. Jesus is still alive, he still is active, and he is still available. And our life really is what makes that possible. In fact, we started in week one with this premise, and we want to take you back to this premise. And it's simply that Jesus is alive and active in the world. He makes himself available to and through Holy Spirit-empowered disciples. Now, a big part of what we're going to talk about today has to do with in the world. And that's going to be the focus that I think ultimately Jesus, as he was, you know, for this last time, he's doing this huddle with his disciples, and he's talking to them about the kingdom. And then he gives them this command. He says, now wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the empowerment that is going to come upon your life. And of course, that's Pentecost. That's what we're celebrating. It's a pray. That's what you're celebrating. And then living a life of an empowerment that was given to each of us. And so as he's preparing the disciples, they're waiting. The Spirit comes, it descends upon them. And then you find that Now, in chapter 3 of the book of Acts, we run into this story where now they're in the world. They're no longer in the upper room. They've received the power in the upper room. Now they're just going day by day their things. And one of the things that they were doing is they were going for a time of prayer. And as they're going into the temple, there's a lame man that I'm sure they have seen a number of different times. And Peter and John, they look to him as he's asking for some money. You know, they hit their pockets, they don't have any money, and they have this holy hunch that God's about to do something. And so they show to this man that Jesus is alive and he's active. And they say, you know, silver and gold have we not, but what we have, we give you. Rise in the name of Jesus. And here's this powerful miracle that becomes well known all over the city. Everyone knows that this has taken place. It is undeniable. It gives them this platform to speak about Jesus dying on the cross for their sins. And they can move into that life and they can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and find times of refreshing, as Peter says. But what you find happens is they get hauled off to court for this because the religious leaders of the day did not want them to be proclaiming the name of Jesus. They didn't want the world to know that Jesus was alive and active. In fact, everything had been done to really shut Jesus down. In fact, even when he went to the cross, that was about the enemy attempting to shut down the activity of the God the Father through Jesus Christ in that day. And what you find, you know, both with what happened at the cross and what happened with the disciples in their day of court is that really the enemy's goal is to privatize, is to put in hiding and to put behind walls all the activity of God. And ultimately what happens when we adhere to that, when we align our lives up with what the world says, then ultimately we put up a roadblock. We become gatekeepers, as it were. We're from keeping people away from Christ's activity. That's what they did attempted to do with Peter and John. They tried to say, hey, you just don't go and talk about Jesus anymore. Make that private. And yet they said, are we going to listen to you or are we going to listen to God? And because they chose to listen to God, you find that they were filled again with God's Spirit. Because the model that Jesus put forth is go and wait to be empowered so that you can go public. But Jesus understood well before he went to the cross that the enemy was always going to try to get his people to privatize their relationship with the Lord. They're to privatize the activity and availability of Jesus in and through lives. And the challenge, I think, today, it's not uncommon, you know, throughout history, is there's always segments of people who will ultimately privatize their Christianity. And in privatizing their Christianity, ultimately they're privatizing the reality that Jesus is alive and active and available for the world. Because Jesus, he came that we would go into the whole world. And that's the essence of what we're talking about today, is that ultimately it's not about you having a Pentecostal service. Because one of the things that big roadblock that has been put up in those that would call themselves Pentecostalism is that Pentecostalism has become a church service style rather than a lifestyle. It's the way we are demonstrative in our worship, as opposed to allowing Jesus to be alive, active, and available in and through you in the world that you are currently living in. I think the other part that has happened in this attempt to privatize Pentecostalism and ultimately privatize the reality of Jesus being alive and active is that there's been enough weirdness that people have just said, we don't want anything to do with that in our church services. And so because it's a church service that more than a lifestyle, then you have to align your services to be not offensive. You don't want anything that is going to scare off the world, because the only place the world is going to find Jesus is in a place called a church. It's in a building where he is bound to. But that was never Jesus's plan. It was never his intention to have his people be locked in a building and say to people who are dying and going to hell, the only way that you can get Jesus is to come to church, because that's the only place that you're going to find Jesus. But if you come to our church, you're going to really experience Jesus. But Jesus had a quite different plan in mind. He planned that his people would move into the arena, which is life, this arena of our everyday world, where ultimately Jesus is operating. It's where the divine activity ultimately takes place. And Jesus, again, knew this was going to be a challenge, because he said to the religious leaders of the day in Matthew chapter 23, he said to him, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourself nor allow those who would enter to go in. So he understood that it would be just this religious mindset that ultimately would put up roadblocks that would keep the activity of the kingdom from being made known. And so a question before we really move into the part what Rex is going to talk about is moving into the world and going into the world is as you survey your world, you survey your family, you survey your neighborhood, you survey your workplace, you survey the places you go on a regular basis, the Starbucks or the Walmart, wherever it is. What are the roadblocks that is keeping Jesus's availability, his activity, letting them know that he's alive? What's the roadblock in front of them? Here's our prayer, is that we're not the roadblock, that we're not the ones that are ultimately privatizing our Pentecost. We're not saying that this is just something that we do one day a week. This is not just something where we live one way 6 days a week and then we become somebody totally different on that one day of the week. We believe that this is a lifestyle, the Christ life, that ultimately that you step in, that you live out a life where you're not a roadblock, but your life is showing that Jesus is alive and active and available as you go into the world.
Absolutely. That is so well said, because it's, and this is more than semantics as well. It's not just, you know, some language issue here. This is a behavioral issue. This language is kind of a part of a culture that has developed over years where, you know, the average person, Christian as well, you know, believes that God has a house, that God has a day, God has a place. There's a holy place. There's the church. This is where God lives. And there are kids that are raised with the idea, well, don't run in the house of God. Well, here's the truth of Scripture is that we are the house of God, and that the place for divine activity is the world. It's in the world. Christ comes into the world. And the church was not sent to come and build buildings and, you know, give God a day and a sacred place and a sacred sort of set of things that we do and where we sing and we sermonize and we do all of these kind of things. And if you want to find God, you have to find him when he's only available, and he only shows up on like one day a week. Used to be 3 or 4 days a week. Now it's one for a lot of people. This is not the reality of how God has made himself available. This is not the history of how God has made himself available. The history of God making himself available has always been in the arena of life. This is ministry at the speed of life. This is God showing up and showing forth his presence and his power in the world, in your everyday world. God so loved the world that he sent his son. He loves the world. He sent his son what? To hang out at church? No, to be in the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made by him, the world didn't get an awareness of who he was, and only those who received him received the power. But the reality is he is in the world. And we really want to get this through because this is not just semantics. This is not just language. This is a huge paradigm shift. I mean, this is a earth-shattering paradigm shift. When you stop thinking that you can go to church and you start accepting that you are the church, that we are. It doesn't mean that we don't gather corporately. It doesn't mean that we don't love to sing. It doesn't mean that we don't adhere to good teaching and warm to the idea of hearing somebody teach the scriptures. That's all true. But we don't ever believe that God has only a day and only a place and only a house. God has every day and he has everywhere an opportunity and a heart to minister to people. And the lost, the plan for the lost is not that they show up at church. God's plan is that, we bring the world to Christ. No. God's plan is actually, and this is not just semantics, God's plan is that we bring the Christ to the world because that's what he did. He is in the world. He has come to the world. There's this marvelous scripture, in John chapter 17, I think it's verse number 18, but it's Jesus saying, the same way that the Father sent me into the world, sent the Son into the world, I am sending the church into the world. And so this is the ministry of Christ. Father sends the Son into the world. He didn't just go to the temple and hang out at the temple. The miracles and the ministry of Jesus, the preaching, the teaching, the meals that he had, the festivals that he attended, the miracle, one of his first miracles was at a wedding festival. A big 7 to 10 day event when they would gather together. And whoever came, he didn't control the guest list. Nobody showed up by joining a church. It was the world. It was public. It was life. And so here is the Christ moving by the will of the Father into life. God robing himself in human flesh and moving into the world. And so the Father sends the Son into the world. But this is also the ministry of the Christian, the church. It is you and I going into all the world, every day, everywhere, with everyone. We understand that God is alive and active, and he's making himself available to and through us. And so we go where we go. We actually live the way we live. We serve the way we see. We work the way we work. We play the way we play in Jesus' name. Now that's the substance of a ministry life. That's the substance of living out of a real Christ-life faith. The arena for divine activity is the world. And so what we're advocating for here today and for the entire future, because we believe this is what God set up the plan to be, is we're advocating for, a couple of words, public Pentecostalism. Living out your faith, living out your empowerment. This is the reality of what happened in Acts chapter 3. These brothers, they were going to the temple for an hour of prayer, 9 o'clock in the morning, and they would have, as servants, given something to this guy, but they had no money to give. And then God gave them, as givers, a gift of healing to give to the man. And so they simply did it in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And they lifted him up and pow, the Spirit of God, the miracle power of God touches him. And he is just transformed and he goes crazy, obviously, you know, just as does the rest of the crowd. Why? Because this is public. This is right there. This is in your face. This is undeniable. It's remarkable. And it's remarkable to those who want to believe. It's also remarkable to those who want to oppose. Those who are, essentially, that's kind of what the Pharisees said. You guys have gone public with this power. What's that all about? You need to keep it private. You need to keep it to yourselves. No more teaching and preaching in the name of Jesus. No more of this power demonstrations. And here's the reality. Today, you don't have to argue with that. The church has kind of done it for people. We've kind of given God his day, his place, his little thing. And a lot of people never attend a Pentecostal church because they hear weird things happen there. God has never intended for that to be the end of the story. In the last days, the scripture says, Joel said, he prophesied it. Peter referred to it on the day we celebrate today, this day of Pentecost. He said, in the last days, God intends to pour out his spirit on all flesh, not on everybody who shows up at a Pentecostal church on the right day and time, on all flesh. Into the world. God is coming by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the ministry of Christ. This is the ministry of the Christian. And this is really this powerful anointing that we want to experience in these last days. The simple truth of it is it's the same truth that we've been sharing with you. We receive this reality. We believe it. As many as receive him, to them, there becomes an empowerment to become the children of God. And when we receive this knowledge of the Lord, this understanding of his presence, this call of God to see him operating, alive, active in the world, then we can begin to respond to that. We are not inviting people to church. We are the church. And so we're coming to you in the name of Jesus. We are here in the name of the Lord. We're not telling you where to find the truth. We are people who walk in and traffic in the truth. And so we come and we speak and we serve and we love and we pray and we minister healing in the name of Jesus, this miraculous presence of Christ. And so receiving has everything to do with these two words that I want to share with you, authority and awareness. Jesus said, when he is raised from the dead, all the authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. We talked about this in the series. This is kingdom rulership. This is the rulership of Christ, the true kingdom of God. And that authority is the authority of Jesus. But when you and I receive not just that authority, but the awareness of the presence of the living Jesus with us, well, now we're in a place of receiving. Now we're in a place where we see what God is doing in the earth. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to hope he shows up at church on a Sunday. We see what he's doing right here, right now in the earth, and how he's moving by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we see that, then we can begin to respond to the thing that God has done. We receive this authority. We receive this sense of awareness. And then we begin to respond. And we talked about it last week, supernatural response. God shows up and I see what he's doing. And that's really super. And I go, I'm so excited about this. But what do I do? How do I respond? I minister. I serve. I love. I don't have to do the super. I do the natural. I step up and I speak about God's mercy. Wouldn't you like to be well? You know, don't you wish you had more than just alms for the day? I'd love to give you alms, but I don't have that. But now I do have something. And so we begin to minister naturally, serving, caring, loving, sharing the grace of Christ, giving the resources that we have. Please don't believe. Please don't even pretend to deceive yourself with the idea that when I have great authority from God and I'm sure that there's a guaranteed miracle, man, I'm going to have a powerful ministry. No, you're not. If you don't give away the things you have, there's no reason for you to believe that you're going to give away the things you receive. If you don't steward well what you've got, you will not steward well what you are apt to receive. And so what do? We minister, we serve. But that ministry many times leads us into the miraculous because they would have given alms. They would have given some silver and some gold, but we don't have that. God said, I have something better for him today. This is his day to walk. Wow. Imagine that. I mean, imagine in the moment they have to be going, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Are you feeling this? Yeah, I think so. Well, let's. What are you going to do? Let's go for it. That's in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he didn't immediately respond, so they started to pick him up. But somehow in this transport from sitting there crippled to being lifted, his feet and ankle bones, his legs literally receive strength, and standing up, he knows he has been powerfully touched. A miracle has taken place. But the ministry that we serve in is Jesus. And the miracle presence is the presence and the power of Jesus. There is the response that we always want to make. And we want to make this in these public settings. You know, we go into all the world. We share this gospel with people. And then the final word we use all the time, we receive, respond, recycle. Recycle kind of means repeat, if you will. But what do? We do this again and again. We continually demonstrate the love, the grace, the presence, the patience, the goodness of Christ, his care for people, his generosity. We live in love, but we also move in the authority and the anointing and the compassion of Christ with the power of the Spirit of God. And so we demonstrate Jesus alive and well, and we disciple people to live Jesus alive and well. The same thing that I have received, I can pass on to you. The same way we've been living, we can share this with you. And so it's not just an issue of going public, getting power and going public, but as you get power, as you go public, we also then raise up other people to do the very same thing. Receive this power from heaven and carry it with you everywhere, every day, with everyone. Years ago, I had a friend who came to me one time with this great line. It was like, and here was his phrase, oh, Rex, you should have been there. And his enthusiasm just excited me. And I thought, okay, what are you talking about? And he went through this whole thing about this amazing experience that he had just had and how he was in this place and they were giving away these amazing things and on it went. And, you know, it was free this and free that and free the other thing. And I thought about you and I thought, oh, Rex should have been here. And I've just come to tell you today, you should have been there. And I know he thought that should minister to me, but I was not encouraged. I was, in fact, straight up discouraged. Imagine being able to say something like this. Instead of running into your friends' places and say, you should have been there, you can say, you know, you should have been there, and it would have been great if you'd been there when God was giving away these great gifts, this saving mercy, this healing grace, this delivering power. But because you weren't there, I was there, and I thought about you while I was there. And so I got some for you, and I brought it with me. Ooh, you should have been there. Where is there? There is in the world. And you and I get to go into all the world in the power and the presence of the living, active Christ of God. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's exciting.
It is. And I like the fact that Jesus didn't say we're going by ourselves. He's going with us.
Yes.
Because he is alive and active and he is available. But he did say, wait, because there is the empowerment part. And if you're watching this and you've not been empowered from on high by the Holy Spirit, we believe that the Lord wants, like in the early days of the church, it was the normal way it was done. You receive the power of the Spirit, then you go into the world. There are big parts, segments of the world that just says, so just go give your testimony. They don't need to know your story. They need to know him. And we want to lead you in that experience. We want to walk with you. And so one of the things that we're going to offer is really just to be able to spend some Zoom time with Rex and I, where we can talk through, pray through, and lead you into a place where you're experiencing the reality of Jesus everywhere you go, every day, and every opportunity that the Lord puts before you. So if you want to be a part of that, would you just send us a message? Would you, down below, just make it in the comments or private message us, and we'll send you a link where you can just spend some time with us talking about how the miraculous power of Jesus moves in and then through you, whether in the prophetic or in the supernatural, miraculous healing, whatever it might be, everywhere in between. Jesus wants to be part and wants you to be part and partner with him in his life, what we call the Christ life. So God bless, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.